Between Our Sundays.
This is Kenny.
And this is Chrissy, where we share real life with real people while serving a real God.
Welcome to take two of our podcast today. Take two. This is the first unprecedented second go round where we got to a stumbling block. We said, hey, there's no way we're going to be able to back out of that one.
Yes.
We got to just do over.
Yes.
So we get to know something that you don't know. So ha ha ha. But anyways.
Well, it's episode 16.
It is. It is the 17th of August.
Yes.
We are in a Sunday.
Yes.
An amazing day. And because I already know what I said the last time, today has been full. And I'm joking on this because I started the other episode saying that we were busy.
And I said, I don't like the word
busy. She doesn't like busy. She likes full.
Busy to me, though, is such like a, it's a, like, status quo. Hey, how are you? Well, I'm really busy. Or like it's an excuse, or our success is like measured around this word of busy.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring that up. And I mean, I don't think I would have ever even extracted this out of said first take. So I'm really kind of glad we're sitting in number two. But I got to church a little bit early this morning to do some production setup, you know, the normal routine for
right.
me. And as I'm in there, I'm in kind of the staff office, and I'm talking with our production lead, George. And we've got folks coming and going, asking questions. We have things that are turning on and turning off. And at first glimpse, it's almost like, oh my gosh, there's just so much moving at one time. And there was a split second that it was almost a little too much sensory overload at one time. It's like, ooh, this is so busy. And before I could get that out of my mouth, because I could see kind of the same thing accumulating in his kind of face, because people mm-hmm. were pinging him for information in mm-hmm. such a short amount of time, it occurred to me in that moment. I said, George, you know, this would be a really easy moment for me to sit here and say, oh my gosh, this is just so busy and chaotic. And I said, but how much different of a picture would this be if there was nobody in here? Mm-hmm. If there was nobody to talk to, if there was no interaction happening, if there was nobody trying to get a camera going, I said, that would mean that we were empty, that we didn't have people serving, that yeah. we didn't have people helping. So what looks like coming and going and chaos in the moment, and there yes. is always a good blend of chaos and organization at the same time, it was really a point to turn it on its head for a minute and say, this is a ministry of joy right now.
Right.
Because we have people that are here that are excited.
Yeah.
They're asking questions because they want to provide excellence.
Right.
They want to go out and do the best job that they're asked to do. And so it was, again, for me, it's not my normal. I can be right. a very pessimistic person and somebody that can find the negative, I promise, really easy. And so it was fun to have a moment of celebration to just say, we're blessed by the number of people that we have in that little portion mm-hmm. of the ministry that I get to be a part of, that, you know, this isn't busy. This isn't chaos. This is volunteerism and service and servanthood at its finest
yes.
with a group of an absolute amazing young men and women that are And old men and women, too. I mean, I guess I have to put myself in the older
We're
category.
We're kind of middle-aged. We're closer to middle-aged than we are young.
Well, okay. If you need to go there, that's fine. I think myself as 12 years old in
ew.
Spirit.
No.
I
would have gone back to like 25, maybe.
25, sure.
25 with the knowledge now.
Okay. But you say my filter is like a 12-year-old that I just don't know how to filter.
12-year-old boy, yes.
There
yes.
you go.
Yes.
Well, we won't put it on the air then.
So the word busy, I don't know why it's just standing out. A great friend of mine, it's been a while now. It just in passing, we were talking and she's like, you know, someone shared with me, instead of using the word busy, using the word full, and it sounds less chaotic. Like how often do you run into somebody in Walmart or Publix? We don't go to Walmart, Publix. And it's like, hey man, how are you? I haven't seen you in so long. And the first thing that comes out of somebody's mouth is, oh, I've been busy. How often do you find yourself saying, oh, I've been busy? It's almost like a reasoning within yourself, an automatic defense of, I've not seen you. I've not made it a priority to contact you or catch up with you or follow up with you. And it's almost that immediate defensiveness of, gosh, I've just been so busy. Whereas when I say full, it's like, it's the days are full. This last week for us, I feel like was just, it was so full from the last couple weeks, really. Truth be told, the last month, I feel like every week has been not much of a routine, not much of, and nothing has been bad. It's just been very full schedules from traveling and where you're at in the project with work and the kids starting school. And we had a couple of weeks where I was out of town 2 weeks back to back, and a great conference that I was blessed with the opportunity to be able to attend with the church, and so much goodness that came from that experience. So it's not that when I hear the word busy, it's almost like I'm trying to fill my time. So when I'm telling you I'm busy, it means I'm what is the right word? Because everything that I want to say just sounds so bad, but it's like, oh, I'm busy, I'm needed, I'm wanted. I'm like making me be bigger than what really schedules are full. Schedules are really full.
But when you think about the difference between busy and full, one is priority driven and one is demand driven. And you know, when you say, hey, I'm busy, it indicates that you have made a series of priorities. It means that, hey, I have chosen whatever it is, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong.
Right.
It's just, you know, I have now placed in order what I've chosen to go to. When I say it's full, it's just that most literal statement of it's like, hey, I had 24 hours in this day. Some of that I had to eat and some of it I had to sleep. And sure enough, the rest of it got filled in with, you know, things that do demand my attention, whether it be providing for my family or being a husband or being a father, all of the different things.
Right.
And so I think it helps, you know, when we begin to aggregate our time more or less against the day, and you say, what am I going to do better with my time?
Right.
If my day is already full and I'm already going to have to pack so much stuff in it, but I know I need to do this thing. I need to have lunch with this person, or I need to have coffee, or I need to stop. And again, I don't always want it to come across like, well, I need to do this for them. No, there's
I
so many times that I need a friend to fulfill some just, I need to push a rest of the world out for just a moment to have some dedicated time, even if it's not time that's towards anything. It's just time spent in community with somebody else.
Right.
Somebody that can listen for a second. Somebody that's not going to judge or put you in a box. Just somebody that you know can hear the part of life that you're at.
Right.
And many times relate with you on that.
Right.
Sean, yeah, I can see the difference between busy and full.
Yeah. So schedules have been full over the last, since we did our last podcast.
We got a new garage door, one for two.
Yes.
We now have to have the second one replaced. We won't go into the whys. Just
another blessing that God's hand was on through the entire process, because he is refining us to be more godly in all situations.
Yes. You have to understand things in
other
people's shoes. Especially
from business sides of things.
You do. Sometimes it takes you being in the boat of something to understand that when you're on the outside and placed on the consumer end of a problem,
yes,
you understand where the business comes from a little bit better and what they're going to have to absorb.
And we don't always know how God is working in someone else's heart. So we can only be accountable and responsible for how we treat others. So, while it is not convenient or complete yet.
But they look God great.
Yes.
It's going to be two very good looking doors. So
absolutely.
That is an absolutely amazing blessing for us for that. So we'll just see the joy.
We have a truck that has made its way to its final spot of fixing, hopefully.
A little bit of body work. Yeah, it's going to get a new bumper.
Yes.
So that'll be back in the rotation.
Yes. So since the last podcast, we have come full circle. No more snakes.
No more
snakes.
We stayed away from the snakes. And if you didn't hit the YouTube or the
Facebook
for TikTok, that video, you got to see that thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to laugh at yourself the hardest in order to just enjoy.
You were pretty epic.
Hey.
It was an epic laugh that has lingered.
I need not deal with snakes. Especially on my front porch.
That is a fact. With broken garages, and all I could see was that sucker ending up in the garage and having babies.
I know. Well, so today was a pretty great day at church.
Yes.
We got to open up our small group season.
Yes.
I know you got to do quite a bit of the precursor stuff, laying out the facility and the tent area where we got to see. I mean, I don't know the exact number of groups, but I think by number of tables you had out there.
I mean, it was probably 50 to 60 groups that are open this semester.
And goodness gracious, for a community of our size, that is just an amazing outpouring of people's time.
Fantastic.
And there's a group for everybody.
It's probably one of the best, the largest Connect group rallies that I have seen. And I think it's such a blessing that so many servant hearts have stepped up to lead, to open up those avenues for our community, because these small groups are open. You don't have to be a member of the church. You don't have to attend regularly. We genuinely believe that the context of relationship starts in small groups. That's where the big church becomes small. These people become your family. And maybe sometimes it takes a time or two to get the right one. But overall,
and I think God maybe even uses different groups in different seasons too.
For sure.
It's not that, oh my gosh, I got into the farmers club and so I'm locked into that, you know. Maybe this time around that's what was gonna fit, and then maybe next time we're a young family that now has children and they need to learn more about parenting, or maybe we have kids on the other end of the spectrum leaving the nest and they need to learn empty nesting. You know, there's always somebody that's in the fight with you.
There were so many today, and from arts and crafts to becoming Mrs. Better Half, which is a wonderful study for women and the pursuit of being better wives. There was a young mom who's a single mom, and providing a space for single mothers to come together to talk about things that only single moms are going to be able to relate to. There are some groups for divorced people who can connect, come in and come together to connect on that aspect and talk about those struggles and how God is using them through these seasons. So there are men's groups, there are women's groups, there are co-ed groups. There's, you know, we have our different outreach, we have our outreach ministry and different teams within the church. I mean, there are really just so many opportunities to get plugged in. And again, what a lot of people in our area view as a big church, getting into a Connect group removes that.
It really also continues to expand the ripples of ministry. It's not High Point Church. It's not Person X. It is Jesus. That's at the forefront of everything. That's at the core of each one of these, is a biblical principle and a big biblical disciple that is excited to share about a moment or a place or a subject in life. And again, you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter where you are within the community. There's not a members only sign on the front door that says, hey, you know, come in at your own risk here. It's just come be a part of something, because you know, the church, the building itself, we all know that to be nothing more than a structure. And it's historically, biblically, always been that way. The church was the meeting place. The church was the place at which, you know, we had an opportunity to have a physical, you know, conduit that we could gather at and meet at and worship and praise and learn. But when you really begin to peel away the layers and get to it, the church is the body. The church is the group of people. And when you start seeing those groups become extensions from that center, it just makes the Jesus network bigger.
Absolutely.
It just makes the places and the spaces that they get to fit into. And again, this isn't a mass thing where we're having stadiums filled with people. This is personal. This is 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe sometimes up to 10, you know, where you're communing with people at a very personal level. They understand you. They want to get to know you. And it's a two-way street. They want you to be a part of them too. It's not, you know, somebody standing on a platform saying, hey, you should learn about this, or I've got it all figured out. It's, hey, I'm probably in the middle of this, and maybe we can work through this together, and let me sharpen you. I would hope that you kind of sharpen me, and maybe we can lock arms in this and begin to strengthen our community across the board.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that goes into the message today that was, you know, growth and dreaming bigger. And, you know, I know Pastor Derek was talking about Elijah and the story in Elijah or of Elijah, and, you know, just how we think things are supposed to go a certain way, or, and they don't. And what do we do with that? What do we do with that?
So I can find a lot of, space in today's lesson, in today's message, because I find myself at that dreaming state quite a bit. I find myself caught in the what if portion of my life a lot, where my mind takes a journey down the next path of whatever it is. And what I really captured from today, and again, he was speaking out of, I believe it was 2 Kings, and essentially the precursor text to the story is we had Elijah, the prophet, and then he anointed Elisha as the new prophet. And as things were evolving, there was a place at which the group that Elijah was a part of was a bit doubtful, kind of in where they were at in the faith and in the process that they were in. And so as Elisha was called upon to be a part of the next big thing, you know, the message takes a detour and kind of says, and again, Pastor Derek scripted it in this way, that inspiration requires participation.
Yes.
And I connected with that immediately, because when I began to think about the practicality of that, it's so very true in that you can be inspired. We can all be inspired. You can stand in a crowd. You can listen to a speaker that can captivate you. You can jump on a podcast. You can go to self-help. You can read a book. There's so much around us that will inspire us. But transitioning from that point of inspiration and then investing yourself in the participation piece is really where the rubber meets the road, and a purpose-driven life begins to go from there.
Yes.
And that's what hit me.
During a point today, I was in prayer and this came to me. How do we turn inspiration into activation that mobilizes the leadership within us and in our church?
Say it again.
How do we turn inspiration into activation that mobilizes the leadership within us and our church?
That's pretty good.
Because we want to be inspiring, right? Like, I think about this podcast, because that's my next note here is podcast, obedience, participation. Like, we've been talking about for 2 weeks, let's go in and podcast, and I'm too tired.
We've been busy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We've been busy.
Chosen not to do it.
Chosen not to do it. That's the
honest.
Chosen
not to participate.
Or prioritize it.
So So when I think about this podcast, the intent is to inspire, right? We want all of you who are listening to be able to relate to us and show you that we are doing real life here, where we don't have our lives together. We struggle. We're real people. So we want to inspire and show that in the realness of life, in the struggles of life, that God is so real and Jesus is so real. And we are so on fire to grow our relationship with Jesus, and we don't always get it right. So we want to inspire people, right? How do we take our inspiration and the intent here to inspire people and then inspire people to act upon that inspiration? Let's go a step further to say, okay, yeah, we relate with Kenny and Chrissy. We're all doing real life. This is real. God's moving in our lives. But now how do we take this to another level of, let's start acting. Let's take this time that we have to share life with everybody. And how do we inspire people to take those next steps in their walks with Christ?
And I think one of the parts that he continued to sew together in this total message was that true faith is that activation, that point that you move from inspiration to participation. That's when you see your faith really begin to be put into practice.
Yes.
And so as that story continued to unfold, these guys were walking around the desert. It was several armies that were collectively there. They were tired. They were thirsty most of all, and they didn't have any more water. And they're in a desert, which is not a typical water-bearing area. So as they start going to the prophet, said, "Hey, can you work with God? Can you fix this? Can you have him throw us a bone here?" He's like, yeah, I talked to him. So here's what we got to do. We got to dig ditches. And they kind of step back and it's like, what's the application here? I don't understand. He's like, God's not preparing you right now to just answer your immediate need. When you put that activation and that leadership, as you just so amazingly put together, and again, I kudos to you. That is such a well put together
thought. I know, I'm going to come back to it because I was asking you a question that you didn't answer.
Oh, then I need to hear it. That is when, you know, the provision comes.
We have to make the decision and take the acts necessary to prepare us to receive the blessings that we're asking for. So we're asking for miracles, but have we prepared ourselves to receive those miracles?
Right.
So these ditches are just an analogy, or I mean, you might need to go out in the backyard and dig a ditch. I'd be kind of concerned if you started just digging a hole in the backyard.
I think they made a movie about that in Disney, right? Holes.
Yeah. They were searching for something, though.
So are we.
Well, we are searching for something. I don't know that it requires a hole being dug in the backyard. I think the HOA might get kind of mad, and I might get kind of worried that you were digging a grave for me or something. Like, that's...
I love you too much for that.
Oh.
So what's my question? You said you had a question for me.
Yes, I asked you the question.
Oh, well, you know, most folks have to ask the question twice. A, because I'm really bad at listening.
No, my question was just, how do we inspire people through this podcast to take the next step in their walks? How do we share? Do we share the steps that we're taking, the activation? What are we doing to activate our faith? What are we doing to walk out our faith? Yes, we are being obedient in this podcast, but let's take this a level deeper to say, in this season of where God has us, what are we doing to put our faith in action? And what are we doing in the different facets of our life? Because I think we both have different areas that we are pursuing and seeking and discipling and mentoring. And I think nothing that is so set It's kind of, okay, where's God leading me right now? Where's God leading me tomorrow? Where's God leading me in the future? But where is God leading us? And why are you taking pictures?
Because you look cute with your little pink microphone and your headphones on, and you're very focused right now.
I am very focused because I really feel like God was like intentional, because when I was in intercessor prayer today, I feel like we are all there's scripture that says we are all ministers and we are all called to bring the word of God to others. We're all called to celebrate and share the word. Like, so we're all leaders. There's a leadership in each and every one of us, and we all have these gifts. And it gets me kind of not heated, but gets me like really passionate and excited, because I feel like there's so many ministries that are out there, whether it's local, whether it's national, whether it's in foreign countries, whether it's across the United States. I mean, there's food ministries, there's ministries with children, there's ministries with moms and single dads and addicts, and like, there are so many ministries. Where do we find ourselves, and how do we activate that leadership in other people so that they can be mobilized to go out into the world and continue spreading the love of Christ?
So my gut tells me, in one aspect, that obedience and diligence and consistency is where I see the first line right there. Is put yourself to purpose, put yourself to task to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to set a regimen for myself, not out of duty, but out of dedication. Because if you're going to do it with excellence.
Right.
Do something that people can depend on and count on. Because in the podcast world, for those of us that listen to them, you are always kind of, when you get into a line of somebody's stuff, you are looking for the next time they release.
Right.
And if you fall too far from the wayside of that, you're like, I'll find something else, you know? So I think that is a start. And the reason I say that is because I don't think you and I come in here so many times with like a lesson plan. We've tried that. Right. But whether we did or we didn't, the number of times that we have gotten a random call or a text message that was completely unintended from somebody that said, hey, I listened to that. I'm going through whatever.
Right.
I just needed to hear that. I just needed to hear that 1 5-second spit of whatever it was. And we didn't even know, nor could we have planned to put that in place or do that. And I think it's just us being us, but I think it's us, again, being delicate or dedicated with our time.
Right.
But because we believe God is so much bigger than us, believing that every word that he's going to pipe through us right now is going to have a bigger impact than what we think.
Right.
And again, this isn't going to be measured on us.
It's not about us. It's not about us. It's because, truth be told, I don't go back and listen to these. It's in my heart, it's, okay, God's called us to be in here. And whether it is in, there's been times that I've stepped into this room and it's like, gosh, I do not know what I'm going to say. And truth be told, we've never had an issue up until today, which I feel like God had a reason for this take number two, and how we were able to kind of, somebody needed to hear something about being busy for whatever reason. And I feel that in my spirit right now, that someone listening needed to hear that just give yourself some grace, but think about how it is that we're addressing people and how we are communicating and relating to people, because being busy isn't always the greatest thing.
It's not
a measure of success. So I think somebody needed to hear that. But coming into this room, I don't always know what I'm going to say, but God always leads conversation to be seamless. I don't know that there's a lot of moments that are ever silent. I don't know that they're ever awkward, or I remember praying after our first episode. That was the only one that I listened to. I've heard some bits and pieces when you will play them, but I don't go back and listen. And I remember praying, God, let me hear my voice in a pleasing way, because I have always really disliked how I sound on recordings. So I prayed to have ears to hear my voice the way God hears my voice. And since then, I don't listen to myself. I remember having peace and, oh, that sounds good. But trusting that whatever God brings out of us in this moment, in this space, in this holy space that we have created here in our home, that God's going to use it for his glory, however that may be. And I don't need to go back and listen to what I said, because I'm trusting that whatever God is putting out right now and bringing through us, it's for his glory. And I tend to overthink things, so I don't go back and listen. Just because I don't.
And these things become sort of documented in the sense that they're living.
Yeah.
You know, they're there. We put them out there. It's not a, we're gonna take it back and worry about, oh my gosh, I didn't script that together enough. This is really who we are. You know, this is really who we are when the mics are off as well. This is really who we would always want you to know or see, is we're just a pair of imperfect human beings that try our best day in and day out and are consistently learning. I think that's what we have probably indicated the most to each other over the last year, especially in within our marriage, is, hey guys, we are struggling in so many areas. And I mean that genuinely, that we have so many spots that we are still rebuilding or that we are still refining.
But financially and intimately are probably two of the biggest places. Yep. Just to be raw and honest, life isn't perfect. And those are areas that need refining. But also I see God working in ways that I think he is preparing us.
Yeah. And I think they're just places that we are learning to love each other in the valleys that we are walking through together. And sometimes when we see each other in the valley in our individual walks too,
right?
Learning to say, okay, I see you down there. I'm not down there with you right now because I'm not in that, but let me put a hand down there and pull you up just a little bit.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's, let me come down off of my top and sit in this with you for a few, because you just need a friend. You just need a partner, not to mentor you, not to tell you how to do this right now. Sometimes you just need somebody to look you in the face and say, it's okay. I'm here too.
Yep.
Whatever you need from me, that's okay. The good or the bad, the ugly, doesn't really matter. You got somebody here that's with you. And I feel like we are truly gaining wisdom within our own marriage and our own home.
Yeah.
Because I know we're constantly being tested. I mean, I can't think of a car that goes through a garage door without a test involved. And how do you mm-hmm. work through, you know, mm-hmm. the physical things? Mm-hmm. How do you use that as a coachable point within your parenting? How do we laugh about it now and say, this is going to be a story we never forget as a family?
Right.
You know, we got, you know, a couple hours ago, we came home and we had, you know, a little bit of a project that we were working on, and mm-hmm. it was at the dining room table. It's a fairly, I guess, long dining room table, 8 seats or so that sit there. And you said something that really kind of took me back. You said, man, the conversations that this dining room table could share.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, you know, I asked you kind of an offhanded question. I'm like, did you talk around the table when you were a kid? And you're like, not really.
Not, you know, that table.
And I don't necessarily remember talking around the table. It's not that we didn't talk. Yeah. It's just we didn't have that kind of central hub.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not knocking. I'm not knocking your parents, my parents, or anything in between. Yeah. It's not a negative comment.
I remember some of the family dinners and stuff. It wasn't around that specific table. Now, holiday dinners, because this table all came from my mom and dad. So we had more adult conversations around that table than kid conversations.
But the point here being is that, you know, we spend a lot of time with our girls.
We do.
At the table.
We do.
We've spent a lot of time with other people's kids as the kids yes. have had friends over. And again, we've had, you know, side jerking, just laugh contests at the table. And we've had some tear-jerking, hey, we really got to deal with this trauma right now. Moments of I'm sorry, but we're going to have to work through this hard moment. Like it's been all, and it's got nothing to do with the table. I think it has everything to do with a spirit that I feel like we are slowly growing into of wanting to have a home that is blessed with open communion and community and just transparency of saying, guys, listen, your mom and dad are supposed to have it right, but I'm telling you, we don't all the time.
And you know, it's really neat that you bring that up, because towards the end of us finishing that project and packing it all up, Olivia is finishing up those last couple bags that she's putting in the box, and you were going in to change your shoes and or shorts or something, and she
good when you go out.
Yeah, of course. I don't even know that you heard her, but she said, "I love this family of mine. I love being a part of this family most of the time." And she chuckled. And what bigger blessing is that, knowing where we were just a few short years ago, 4 years ago, 4 years ago, right now, we were both entering into our very first Connect group.
Right.
On the verge of divorce. Like literally our life was shattered. Our everything we knew of life was shattered. And we were entering into our first Connect group. And
with little to no hope. It was kind of
a last ditch effort.
I'll give this a try. If this doesn't work or stick, then you know, all the rumors are not true. The small group, you know what I mean? And we had done church before, not a lot, but didn't matter. We'd done this church for a while.
We had started online in January. We went to the marriage conference in February.
We'd never done like a lifetime. Like I didn't even grow up outside of a youth group. I don't know if you'd consider that a small group, but never did small groups. You know, the most small group thing we did would be gathering at the end of the driveway with neighbors.
Right.
Certainly not to talk about God in most cases, but
no. We would have get-togethers, and we were social people, but we were not spiritually grounded people at all. And it was one of the most trying times. But I look back now, and when we think about this, it's like I feel like a lifetime has happened in 4 years. Like I sit here in just awe of how much we have grown in 4 years. It feels like it's been so much longer, because I think there's just been so many moments, and I know we're getting close on time, so I don't want to keep rambling, but my goodness, the revelations and the visions and how God has spoken to me over the last couple of weeks, especially in a conference that was meant to be about leadership. And I can sit here and feel 1,000 pounds lighter, because what that time was a time that God used to speak to me directly to let things go. So here, big picture, as we're talking about, you know, how do we take this inspiration and we activate it in our own lives? How do we activate these spaces and places that God has placed us? The spaces and places within our spirit that God has put there. How do we activate that so that we can be mobilized out into our communities?
And I think a big part
of that is this. What we're talking about are all of these ways of sitting around tables and you know, but we didn't wake up one day and just start having great conversation with our kids. It's been 4 years of us working through some really tough times.
But we've been genuinely honest with them the same way that we try to be genuinely honest here. Again, you have to temper some things through maturity, and maybe every detail isn't needing to be disclosed because of just where their head or place may be, you know. But they're
dealing with teenage stuff. I mean, they're girls.
There really isn't a lot that we have withheld on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, and that means the good and the bad.
Yeah.
It's not just that if you ask them, they're not going to give you like this laundry list of success stories. they're going to be able to give you the full picture and say...
It's really interesting, though, sometimes, because I think you were traveling on a work trip and within the last few months, and the girls and I happened to just be having conversations, and how some of the past stuff got brought up, I'm not sure, but it was a really genuine, raw conversation, and they were kind of sharing their perspective of the situations that happened 4 years ago. And Maddie, they're only 15 months apart, but their memory of the situation that which we were, I think we were guarded with how we told them, but it wasn't like we did not tell them either.
Right.
So Maddie had more of a vivid idea of what that season took place and what is happening, the context and the severity of it. Whereas Olivia didn't really understand. So she had some questions in the conversation, and it was super innocent. It was super, again, authentic. There was authenticity in the conversation. Like, it was just very genuine and raw. And I think that openness has prevented a level of bitterness and resentment that I feel like could have built in our home as a child, knowing that and seeing my mom, my biological mom, having inappropriate relationships with other people. It developed this level of bitterness within me, because it was like, do you not think that I don't see this? I'm standing at a door watching all of these things take place. Like, I just can remember that level of kind of frustration. And I took that into my adulthood with and into the relationship with her, because it's like, this isn't how you do things. So I feel like us being able to communicate with our kids and address those tough topics and address those tough things that we have all done throughout our life, it's allowed our kids to see the full picture circle, not just the perfection, not just the negative. They're able to see all. So I feel like this is a way to instill in them faith in what God has done in our life, so that they see it unfolding, they see healing, they see redemption, a redemption story, and not just the bitterness and the anger and all of the junk that comes.
It is nothing that I don't think that they're going to face themselves.
Oh, for sure.
Not to say that the practicality of an affair is necessarily what I think they're going to go through.
Right.
But temptation.
Right.
And how the things start within relationships or even within
boundaries.
A marriage. Like, there's going to be things that they're going to be exposed to as they grow and as God blesses them in different ways.
Right.
And if they've got the full picture, if they can understand all the way through.
Right.
And we've developed a level of open communication, I know that they're going to have reach back, and they're going to say, "Hey, I feel uneasy about this. How can I work through this?
Right.
Or am I looking at this the wrong way? Or, you know, God forbid, something bad did happen. How do I get through this now?
Right.
You know, I feel like us setting the stage right now through our imperfection.
Yeah.
And like you said, the redemption through that is going to be enough credence to say, it's okay.
Right.
This was not a surprise to God. That's the part that I think consistently amazes me, is that we have this vision that somehow we are in control, and we have this idea that, you know what, we just didn't see it coming. There's no way, you know, I could have not predicted that. And to us as a human, that statement is factual.
Yeah.
For most things, we didn't see it coming. God never unsaw it coming. And that was the blessing. That was sometimes the trauma.
Yeah.
That was sometimes the pain.
Yeah.
There was nothing that surprised him.
Yep.
And you can take that two ways. You can take that down the rabbit hole of negativity and say, well, why would he see such bad stuff coming and let it happen anyway? That's not really how he works, because he definitely is kind enough to give us free will.
Yeah.
You know, he's definitely blessed us with that. But sometimes our free will costs us.
And I think sometimes we're brought through trials. And I know there's five of us that have tattoos that are an everyday reminder of praying first. And I know Pastor Derek even mentioned it today. It's not
the last resort.
It's the first response. So I think some of the trials are just a constant, number one, obedience. In the times when you, God calls us to obey his commands in all situations, there's no asterisk, there's no gray area. It's so clear, obey my commands. And those commands are to love and to honor. And love overcomes, overpowers any evil. And Satan's always on the prowl. And the closer we get to God, the closer our relationship is, the more Satan has a big red target on us and is constant.
It's interesting what he said last week about that. He's like, he is going to do his job.
Yeah.
He's really good at his job.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, we act surprised. Like, oh my gosh, I'm being attacked again.
Yeah.
It's like, that should not come as a surprise.
Yeah.
If you are out pursuing the things that you are after.
Hence the serpent on the doorstep.
It's got to be like needed to cleanse, sage, shovel. I don't really care, but it needs to go.
We hadn't seen any sense. I needed to add some humor in there.
But the point being is that, you know, yes, you're absolutely right in saying that authentic being, authentic existence is really the baseline for.
And I think also encouraging yourself every day, ways to activate that activate your faith, to take the inspiration, say you're inspired, say that you're relating to all these things and the trials and, you know, whether we come on here daily, I think we could come on here daily and share all the negative pieces of life. And while I know that we connect in the downsides of life, I know that we connect in the trials and in the trenches. Kenny and I are just we're so passionate about connecting with people where they are. And a lot of the times that's in the trench, that's in the junk, it's in the funk. There's a lot of things that we've been through in our 40 years of life. So we can relate to a facet of people from one extreme to the other. But what I'm learning and what God is growing in me and in us is that if we focus on all that negativity every single day, Satan uses those thoughts to continue to control us, continue to control our worthiness in that, and by continuing to affect our thoughts and affect our mind, we're rolling in all the negativity and we're forgetting the truth and what he says about us. God says that we are worthy and we are holy, and every day brings new grace and new mercy. And we don't have to sit in the funk. So let's activate the truth. Let's activate the goodness. We're beginning, this week is our week of prayer. And while 6 to 7 o'clock every night is about the time most of us are probably coming home for the day. It's dinner time. We're unwinding. We're just decompressing from the fullness of our days. I challenge any of our local friends, any of our local families. I'm sure they're going to put it online. Most years they do, I would hope. Get engaged, get involved, and even when you don't feel like it, show up. Show up for that hour of prayer. Show up for yourself and for your relationship with God, even when you don't know what to pray, even if you don't know what to say. He knows your heart.
And
he
sometimes
knows.
It's just about his presence and just sitting quietly in the moment. And prayer is a two-way conversation if you let it. Prayer isn't just about I'm speaking words and I expect you to listen. Sometimes prayer is just you saying, I'm going to stop and I'm going to block the rest of this world from turning.
Yep.
I'm going to not be busy for this moment, because yes, I want to talk to you, but I want to hear from you sometimes too.
And we have to prepare ourselves. So walking
and if you ask,
in,
yeah, you're right. If you ask, he's probably going to unleash his absolute spirit on you, but you've got to be a vessel ready to receive what he's going to give to you.
That's right. And what better space than to dedicate an hour of your day to surround yourself with like-minded believers who are all there for the same reason. We all come together for the community, for the fellowship, to see other people, to pray over other people, to just be a blessing, but also to find whatever it is. So I know this week for you and I, we have both discussed fasting this week as well, which is another way to activate your faith. And I know we don't have enough time for that because I could talk for a couple hours on fasting and the goodness of that. But let me tell you, I fail regularly because fasting is so spiritually and physically amazing for your body. It's just, if you go into a fast, it does such wonders for your body. But if you go into a fast spiritually expectant, it's so amazing how clear you
really
can
hear.
It
refines what it is that you're looking
for.
It numbs out the things that you are persistently fulfilling yourself
with. Maybe we should do a podcast about fasting. Maybe that's our next podcast. After this week, we fast and we pray and we realign our day, because something else, I'm tossing out ideas in hopes that someone who is listening gets a piece of hope and takes away something. A great friend of mine, she knows who she is because she has said this before, but tithing the first part of your day to God. We talk about tithing our finances, but what about tithing our time? Tithing, you know, PD has done the 10 fingers. And if you tithe at the first 10% of your income, God's got 90% to bless. So if we tithe the first 10% of our day to God, he's got 90% of the day. And Olivia shared that perspective with me in relating those two analogies today. This was our table talk, part of our table talk. And it's like, what an amazing way. I fail at this. It is the one area of life that some of the most successful people you shared today are early morning risers. And whatever that looks like, whatever morning routines. I want to be a morning person. I do. So I'm going to try this week. I'm going to work real hard to do that. I know that you are leading a Connect group this season, and another just a piece of how God is moving in you, and he's really laid it on your heart to meet with local business owners and people who are interested in business, and how we as business owners can be leaders in the community and kingdom leaders at the same time.
Absolutely. The parallels, and again, we won't detour too far off in this.
No, I'm getting
forum,
so passionate about all these ways that we can change.
The parallels between how we grow the kingdom are so similar to how you grow a business.
Absolutely.
You know, because again, the biggest part, and I got to say it so much today, so much that I actually started believing it. I'm just kidding. Is that when you get inside, you know, you're not a door to door, you knock at the door, here's a business card for what I'm selling, and you walk away because people take that and they throw it away. I do.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have somebody that comes and they really believe in whatever they have and they sell you on that, and you can see that in them, it's not only something that they're willing to stand behind, it's actually something that's a part of them now, especially as a business owner. It's the same way that we can kind of capture our faith. You know, I'm not selling you anything per se. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put this in a commercial context, but you know, when Jesus is so much a part of you, when it's like, I can't keep it in, it's just coming out. And people, it's everything I touch has got him on it because I can't contain it anymore. It becomes a place that people are like, I don't know what you got, but I know I want a piece of that. What is that? You know, and it's like, that's the part of it. That's the outward thing that I think we can get right and and just capitalize on so many yes. great things. And
there's so many great ways. And I really feel like I feel the tug to come back to this question, the question, and I'm going to, how do we turn inspiration into activation that mobilizes the leadership within us and our church and add on our community? That's, I think I'm going to place this question in multiple places around our home so that it can be a constant reminder for all of us that we are always a work in progress, but how can God use us? How can God mobilize us? How can we be used to further his kingdom? And that comes in being confident in who we are in Christ and confident in who we are as God's children and what it is that he calls us to do. And that first most important thing is to love people, no matter where they're at.
Right, where they are.
No matter what season, whether it's the ups, the downs, the to love people. And I think let's go a little bit deeper in that, to love ourselves, to see ourselves through the lens that God sees us. And when we start seeing ourselves the way that God sees us, there's no way but to love other people. To let go of all of the junk that Satan wants us to believe about ourselves and to love ourselves in truth and know who we are so that we can activate that in everybody else.
I love it.
All right.
You going to do our prayer today?
I surely can.
Okay.
Heavenly Father God, I thank you so much for this opportunity, God. I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for what you have done in Kenny and I's marriage and our family with our girls, watching all three of them continue to grow through the trials, through everything that life has thrown in each of their ways. God, I thank you for being a constant. Your word never changes. Your love never changes, God. And I thank you. You are the beginning and the end. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are mighty and wonderful in all the ways, God. And I thank you so much. Lord, I thank you for bringing this space for Kenny and I to connect with you. This room, this prayer room, it's a war room, God. It's a war room where you hear our cries, you hear our passions, God. You hear what's on our hearts. And I know you hear the transformation in both of us, God. And I pray that you use each and every word, each and every conversation to honor you. I pray that it's honoring to you. I pray that it is honoring and inspiring to each and every person that hears this podcast today. I pray, God, that it gets into the ears of the people that you know need to hear it. But God, I pray that it goes a little bit further. I pray that the inspiration and the connection that Kenny and I are able to provide to those listening, that I pray, God, that it activates a desire in hearts, a desire in spirits to want more of you, to want to see themselves the way that you see them, God. I pray for eyes to see the world through your lens. I pray for eyes to see themselves the way that you see them, God. I pray for love. I pray for forgiveness. I pray for just a gentleness for people to see themselves the way that you see them, God. I'm so blessed. God, thank you so much for all you are doing in our home right here in the walls that we are currently sitting. I thank you for what you're doing in our community. I thank you for what you're doing in our church, God. And I pray for so many blessings to come in this upcoming week of prayer, God. I pray for unity within our church, unity within our community. And God, I just pray for vision and clarity and for healing, mental, physical, spiritual, for all those listening, God. Your prayers can't be capped by a song. Our prayers can't be capped by a song. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing in these moments. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being ever so present in this space. We love you and we praise you in your heavenly precious name. Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, thank you so, so very much for really walking a journey with us. And if you're local, this week is our week of prayer. We would love to have you have some dedicated time.
6 o'clock.
6 p.m., only on the p.m. side.
6 p.m.,
Monday through Saturday.
Yes.
We're going to be doing it. It's going to be at High Point Church.
And if it's your first time ever attending, please send me, if you know me, if you know Kenny, send us a text. We would love to sit with you and make you feel at home and show you around.
This is a space of love and openness. And you will leave changed if you come in with a spirit of willingness. I promise you, you will have
absolutely
a spirit of change that you
live
with. So, we love you guys. Thank you so much for being with us.
Until next time.